I'm Simon Hamilton and welcome to this episode where we are looking at antimicrobial resistance and the use of antibiotics on farms. This is one of the biggest challenges facing human and animal health professionals to try and ensure the resistance doesn't build up in humans for the critically important antibiotics. AHDB Senior Media and PR Manager John Bates delves into AHDB dairy and neurodairy activity to help encourage reduction of antibiotic use on farm.
I'm joined now by AHDB's Head of Animal Science, Ray Keating. Hi Ray, why does Eurodairy have this focus on antibiotics?
John, it's one of four themes for Eurodairy, and it's obviously a very important topical one at the moment. We know we need to reduce the pressure on antimicrobial resistance, and we've got the potential to learn from what others are doing and to share some of our own experiences. Antimicrobial input to dairy farming. So in that context, we've been working with a group at Bristol of farmers funded by AHDB Dairy who've been examining practical approaches to using antimicrobials on their farms. And then we've been able to get them across to the Netherlands to look at what the Dutch have been doing in terms of their national policies, in terms of how farmers are engaging to reduce antimicrobial use, and effectively how they are getting on, and then taking that information and seeing how useful and adaptable it is to UK circumstances.
Next up, we join an Eurodairy Exchange visit to learn more about the cross-border discussion around antimicrobial resistance.
I'm in the Wiltshire countryside. I'm joining a group of French dairy farmers who are on a Eurodairy Exchange visit. We've come to a farm that is hosted by Robert Mallet. He's a Eurodairy pilot farm. And at his farm, we're talking about antimicrobial resistance and the use of antibiotics.
Hello, I'm Isaac van Heerden. I'm a Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Dairy. One of the unique features here at Rob is that even though he's at a high level of production of 10,700 litres, he is on a block calving system, which means he gets the best of both worlds. In the winter, he treats his cows as a high-yielding system. These cows milk full-on. Then come the spring, when the cows are pregnant, and they'll get out the grass, and he cuts a lot of the cost out of his system. So he gets the best of both worlds, high yielding in the winter when the good milk price, and really cut the cost on his farm in the spring. Rob's been part of a project we've been doing with University of Bristol and the Langford Trust. Rob would admit that 3 years ago he would be horrified if he were told he can't use some of those. But through this project, they've looked at what are the critical important antibiotics and how to reduce that, but also antibiotic usage overall and how to do that. As part of the project that Rob has been involved with, farmer action groups, they look at their benchmark, their antibiotic use, and especially their critical antibiotic use on farms. Over the last 2 years, Rob has decreased his critical important antibiotic use from about 60% to 11%, and his overall antibiotic use dramatically as well. And that has given him a saving of nearly £3,000 in the last 2 years.
So now, despite coping with the rain clattering down on the roof of the barn, we're going to speak with Rob Mallet, who is the host farmer. So Rob, tell me, why are you interested in reducing the use of antibiotics on the farm?
Well, cost obviously is the main implication, that we spend a lot of money on antibiotics. The sort of public good and the public perception of using less criticals is also pretty important. I think as dairy farmers, we don't actually make that much contribution to resistant bacteria, but nevertheless, we've got to be seen to be doing our bit. And my experience has been that we can manage perfectly well without the criticals, the good old-fashioned what's the word for them, the less important antibiotics, the ones that we're allowed to use, work just as well. And
So how long have you been working on the antibiotic program?
Two years we've been on this.
So you started on this program, this journey, if you like, 2 years ago on the farm. What improvements have you seen?
I just didn't understand the importance of the critical antibiotics. Nobody had ever told me, and I think that's the case with a lot of farmers. You just don't know the reasons for not using. The big step we made is that it's much less animals getting infected, much less mastitis, unless pneumonia in calves. Been interested in the group that I've been involved in. A lot of the antibiotic use, particularly the critical antibiotic use, is in calves and young stock. And that's basically down to housing, it's down to infrastructure. It's not nothing wrong with the calves, it's the fact that they're overhoused or in 100-year-old buildings, which is a
And that's
big
what
problem.
You've changed on the farm, is it? Have you made
We've certainly made more effort to muck this shed out more often and keep the environment better, and that's gone from blanket treating. We did blanket treat the calves 2 years ago, and we didn't treat them at all this year, so I think that's down to managing the housing and the bedding more than anything else.
My name's James Husband, veterinary consultant with the Evidence Group.
James, you've been consulting here with this farm for some time, many years in fact. Tell me, what have you been looking at overall in order to improve the performance of the herd?
Well, this is a high-performing herd anyway in terms of production and also with reproductive health. But one of the areas that we've been looking at the last few years has been ways to decrease the usage of antibiotics, specifically really to do with mastitis, but also trying to improve udder health, which has been okay in the past, but probably not as good as we would have liked.
And by taking that sort of big picture approach, so you've improved the health and well-being of the animals, but you've also helped Robert improve his bottom line.
Well, we would hope that it would work that way. And in fact, with the use of antibiotics and the clinical case rate here, that has worked in that direction. So the main things have been to use targeted dry cow therapy. So any animal that didn't have any clinical cases and had a low cell count, so one that was less than 200 in the last three recordings prior to drying off, they were, instead of having blanket treatment with antibiotics, those were just had teat sealant used on them. So the antibiotic usage was reduced very significantly because of that. And fortunately, which is what we hope would happen, that we'd probably been using antibiotics on cows that weren't infected. By not using antibiotics on those animals that weren't infected, we knew that there was the possibility of decreasing the risk of environmental mastitis in early lactation, because there was plenty of research work, specifically from Nottingham University, looking at that. And that was actually what happened. So the reduction in antibiotic usage went hand in hand with a reduction in clinical cases of mastitis. And now the clinical cases here are much, much lower than they were, and much, much lower than the national average. So in that respect, we've reduced the antibiotic usage and also reduced the cost of mastitis. So it has worked very well.
So his name is Phil Lipkoll. He's a dairy farmer in Pas-de-Calais, and he works on a farm with another farmer. It's a kind of society with two farmers.
So I understand, Philip, that you're using antibiotics on your farm, but you're working to reduce the usage.
Like what we saw here, he's trying to reduce the use of antibiotics for the drying period. Only try for the cows that are low cell counts for the last 4 or 5 months to not use antibiotics.
Philip, have you seen anything here that will help you? And if so, what was that?
Est-ce que tu as vu des choses ici? Yeah, what he saw has convinced him that he's trying to do the good things, because when he tried the first time, you're not sure that it will work. And since 5 months, he has no case of mastitis. And his cell count is really low. C'était combien ton taux de cellules, tu disais?
300 et 150 000, ouais.
His cell count is around 100 and 150, so it's really low for him. It's the first time it happens, so it's showing him that it's working. Merci.
Thank you.
Merci.
Within the Eurodairy network, farmer-driven operational groups focus on specific problems and opportunities for the dairy sector. One of these is the Farmer Action Group, Reducing Reliance on Antimicrobials. A couple of weeks ago, John attended the group's finale meeting, and here he talks to those involved.
Hello, I'm Lisa Morgans. I'm a veterinary surgeon doing a PhD at University of Bristol, sponsored by AHDB Dairy, that's looking at a farmer-led approach to reducing antimicrobial use. It's very farmer-centric, based on farm, resulting in practical suggestions, practical solutions, to reducing the need for antimicrobials.
And how long have you been involved with the project, Lisa?
I've been nearly 2.5 years. The project kicked off mainly summer 2016, and the farmers, 30 farmers were recruited to the project from across the southwest of England, put into 5 different farmer action groups, and then followed for 18 months as they met on each other's farms every sort of 6 to 8 weeks.
So when you say recruited, they put themselves forward, or you went round and strong-armed them? How did you persuade them to get involved?
So there's a bit of a mixture of methods. The original idea was to go via veterinary practices, but we also then decided to go into the sort of farming literature, go to farmer meetings. But the most successful one was collaborating with AHDB Dairy to hold recruitment meetings, basically. So invited farmers to come along, chat about antimicrobial use, and then be like, do you want to sign up? So give them a bit of an idea about what they were signing up to then, so they were fully informed.
Okay, and so what's your experience then of being involved with a group of 30 farmers? How's that worked out?
Brilliant. I've absolutely loved it. I've learned probably just as much as they have as a veterinary surgeon about farming, about the constraints that they're working in, and what's more feasible as a practical change on farm compared to other things that with my vet hat on, I might have swayed between more sort of expensive solutions or vaccination of whole herds and things like that. So it's been a two-way process. They've been really keen, really engaged. Attendance hasn't always been like 100% at every single meeting, but some attendees or participants have come to 100% of the meetings. So a huge range of farmers have participated, from like all year round calving to block calving, small herds of 60, 70 cows to 600 cows. So I've seen a diverse range of ideas, and they've all learnt off those different systems.
So they've learnt, you say you've learnt. Were there any surprises?
Probably the thought that vets, or the idea that vets should be doing more, should be more progressive. It wasn't really just one pocket of farmers or practices that weren't doing enough. It seemed to be a theme across all the regions. So that was, as a veterinary surgeon, that was a bit of a reality check that more needs to be done in our profession. And a shock at how helpful they were for each other and supportive, I think, because I was worried that constantly getting different groups of farmers on each other's farms could have been a bit of a scary process.
And so you've taken something away from this. Are there any, would there be sort of the 3 top tips, or the, something that would just very briefly summarise the learnings and what you've got from this?
So for learning for maybe vets and people working with farmers is actually the power of listening and allowing a platform for farmers to have a voice. You get a lot further, a lot better, richer response. For farmers, I think it is actually things might seem like a time constraint, or might seem like that's going to cost you a lot of money or time, but actually there's so much benefit in learning from other farmers that if you do just give up a bit of your day for those sort of events, you can get so much more in the long run. And then maybe for everybody, including the public, farmers really care about the subject of antimicrobial resistance that I've been working with, and they want to make their farms as good as possible to not be contributing to the problem, to be improving animal health and welfare, and they are. So that's a really positive.
That's a great outcome. That's good. Where do we go from here?
Oh, good question. What we would like to see in the research group is more access to facilitation for farmers to run these sort of groups themselves and pull in expertise where they need it, because this approach of a farmer-led, very discussion-based on farm could be used in a different context. It could be used around managing cow welfare, it could be used managing TB. So if there was some kind of access or fund or something for them to use, that'd be really good. And a message for sort of people working in antimicrobial resistance, that farmers can and will do things to reduce the need for antimicrobials.
And I think that has actually been recently recognised, that I think government understand that agriculture is trying to play its part.
Yep.
And is making some significant progress. So this work that you've been doing is an important contributor to that.
Yeah, so recently our research group, headed by Dr. Kristen Ryer and Professor David Barrett, won the Antibiotic Guardian Award, which sounds like a plug, but that was for the food and agriculture section, and we were like, yeah, because we're trying to do so many different things in the research group to combat this challenge, that it's nice to have some recognition now and again.
No, that's and it's a tremendous award, and it's a great accolade to see that agriculture is being recognised in this way, because there has been a lot of talk to suggesting that farmers are part of the problem rather than part of the solution, and I think this demonstrates very clearly that farmers are very anxious about it, and perhaps unwillingly have been sort of part of the issue, but now are very much engaged with reducing the problem.
Yes, absolutely. Part of the solution, I like that. That's for lots of things, environmental, land scale solutions as well. I think farmers are key.
Lisa, thank you very much for talking to us.
My name's Aubrey Hosegood. I live at Wheat Haven Farm in the middle of Devon. We're dairy farmers. We milk about 100 cows. We also run a flock of 320 Dorset early lambing ewes, and we rear all the calves from the dairy cows.
Here we are in the beer garden of a pub, following the finale meeting of all this hard work that you've been involved with. Just reassure me that not all the meetings have taken place in a pub.
No, they haven't, I can assure you that. The first one was the AHDB meeting, organised by Lisa. No, Sarah actually was the first. Got us all involved, then she introduced us to Lisa. That was 2 years ago. We've been meeting on the group's farms. Every 6 weeks we go to each other's farms where we have a meeting, we sit down. The first thing we do is when we arrive is we tell what's happened in the last 6 weeks on each other's farms, which is usually get rid of all the disasters, because we've all had disasters in the last 6 weeks, and it makes you feel a lot better. That's the kind of questions and answers and at that time. And then we get down to some serious business where Lisa's got the topic she wants to talk today, and then we go for a around the farm, and we go usually to the calf rearing part, the milking parlour, the cubicle house, and we all put our views of what we think or what could be improved, or what the problem, whose farm is, well, we got this problem, what do you think, has anybody got any ideas how we could improve this or how we could improve that, and we all put our 10 pence worth in, and then we come back in and usually have the pasty and a cup of coffee, and we and then Lisa gets her little boards out, and we either draw a diagram to, and all the ping pong balls or the sticker notes come out, and we all write down what we think is good and bad, and then we usually have something on the wall written, and we start putting sticky notes on different pot which could be improved, which we think is good, which is a disaster area or whatever, and it's all color coded, three colors, red, green and blue. Nobody wants any red ones, but we all get them. So we get these notes and we get put, and that forms Lisa's action plan. And then she writes it all up and we get an action plan. And then 12 months later, we all come back. We do the complete circle again, going around each other's farms. And out comes the old action plan and have a look at it. And then we see what we've implemented, or if we've done any of it or haven't done any of it. And that's where the biggest learning curve comes from, because there's a lot of people out there who've got great ideas, and it's just the little things.
So give us an example then of the sorts of things perhaps that you've learned.
On our own farm, we knew we had a problem with our calves, and we've implemented three changes. The first one was we went and bought some individual calf pens to start them off on, which were slatted, which were great, which kept them drier, because our calf shed isn't a disaster, but it's not brilliant. And the second thing is we opened our cluster management. We bought a refractometer. Now every cow's milk is tested, and we only feed that milk if it's over 25. And since we've been doing that, we feed them 4 litres of high quality cluster milk as soon as possible. And then we don't touch them for 24 hours. And since we've done that, actual antibiotic usage in our calves has reduced by half.
So you've explained then that it's been an interesting way of learning, that you have learnt things that have benefited your business. Without being rude, it perhaps would have been a while since you've had any sort of formal learning. Would that be a fair thing to say without trying to draw you too much on your age?
Yeah, I am on the senior side of 25, so we put it like.
Let me explain. I'm well on the senior side
so
of that.
So am I. But yes, my son's just finished college. He's going to be the driving force for the future. And I thought this was a good learning curve to be with like-minded people. I've always tried to be, not to sit on the fence. If I want to go and find, go to meetings, go and see different things. And I've always done that. And I think you learn so much by going to look at different people's systems and go to listen to other people talk.
Now, we've described this as the finale meeting, but I don't think it's the end of the process at all, is it?
We're already talking that we're going to try and find our own facilitator to carry the group on. We find everybody in the group finds it very beneficial for their businesses, and we would like to carry it on. We're even talking now with some of the other groups with in a different county. Perhaps we could start, right, you come to us, we go to you, to do exactly the same thing again. I think it's a great form of learning.
Hi, I'm Derek Armstrong, the veterinary science lead with AHDB Dairy, and I'm the supervisor for Lisa Morgans, who's been doing her PhD on farmer learning groups and reducing antimicrobial use on dairy farms.
As supervisor, what does that actually mean? What are you doing?
Well, I was involved with selecting the project and then actually with interviewing Lisa, and then I've been working with Lisa over the course of the project to make sure it meets the objectives that AHDB had for this project.
And obviously we're speaking in the early part of July at the finale meeting. And do you regard this as a success, this project?
I've been really impressed by how enthusiastic the farmers were at this meeting and at some of the other on-farm meetings that I've been at. They've certainly been very positive. They've been really interested in actually tackling the problem of antimicrobial resistance, and they've really expressed how much they've learned from being involved in the project, and told us, you know, in no uncertain terms, how positive they felt the whole experience was.
Now, for people listening to this, they'll be interested to know, how do we spread the good word now, so all of this effort doesn't just get put onto a bookshelf, does it?
No, although it's important that Lisa completes her thesis, and the writing up is a big part of that, and gets that published, so that gets out into the scientific literature. So we have the evidence that it actually works. But beyond that, we need to work together as an industry and to work on the with farmers to actually tackle the problems, because problems on farms are best tackled by farmers themselves, and the people who are best at finding, if you give farmer a problem, he'll find a solution for you. And certainly in the area of antimicrobial use, these farmers have been very interested in finding practical ways to reduce their use.
Derek, thank you very much.
That is it for now. Thanks for listening. For more information about this topic or the Eurodairy Network, please visit our website, eurodairy.eu.